I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. North Carolina Senator John Edwards will stand beside John Kerry as the Democrats' candidate for vice president. After much speculation, the choice of Edwards was confirmed about 2 hours ago and then cemented on a stage in Pittsburgh by John Kerry.
I am pleased to announce that with your help, the next vice president of the United States of America will be Senator John Edwards from North Carolina. I know his skill. I know his passion. I know his strength. I know his conscience. I know his faith. He has honored the lessons of home and family that he learned in North Carolina. And he brings those values to shape a better America together with all of us.
It is a curious thing, but the choice of a running mate at the moment of the announcement ends up being less a story about the prospective VP and more a story about Kerry, the candidate himself, how he makes decisions and what the choices say about him as a potential leader. So let's be simple and straightforward with this and talk about both men this hour. Is Edwards a good choice as a running mate for Kerry? Will he help the Democrats? Edwards has a reputation as a cracking good campaigner, but is he the person you want just a heartbeat away from the presidency? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we start this hour with Rob Christensen. He's chief political writer and columnist for the News Observer in Raleigh, North Carolina. And he's joining us on the line from Market Square in downtown Pittsburgh, where the Kerry announcement and rally has just wrapped up. Hello, Rob.
Good morning.
Nice of you to join us. Thanks very much. I'm interested in knowing how well they did at keeping this a secret. There was so much speculation. When did you actually find out?
I found out about an hour before the actual announcement. This is as tight as I've ever seen it. They did an incredible job, really.
Now, a lot of us paid attention to Edwards back in the weeks and the months of the primaries. But for those who are now sitting up and taking stock of this person, what do we need to know about John Edwards? What distinguishes him as the man who will be standing as vice presidential candidate beside Kerry?
Well, of course, he's an incredible story. Prior to running for the Senate in 1998, he was not involved in politics. In fact, he didn't even vote half the time. He was as death of his son, which in 1996, a 16-year-old son, Wade, died in a freak automobile accident, changed his life. It refocused him. He began thinking deeply about what he wanted to do. And he ended up, shortly after the son's death, ending his very high-powered career as one of the nation's top and most successful trial attorneys and entering politics. And the rise is incredible. Elected to the Senate in 98, knocking off a Republican incumbent senator. 2000, he nearly got on the ticket with Al Gore. And then here we are 4 years later, he's on the ticket. There were a couple things working for Edwards to get on the ticket this time. There were some very important groups within the Democratic Party who really wanted John Edwards on the ticket. One of them is the trial lawyers. The plaintiff's attorneys are a major source of funding for the Democratic Party, and they very much wanted one of their own to rise to a national political office. And also, the Democratic Senate caucus was very much pushing for Edwards. There's a battle for control of the Senate. There are five of the open seats are in the South, and they felt that Edwards would be the strongest candidate for the Democrats to make a run at regaining control of the Senate. And then if you just talk to Democratic grassroots activists, Edwards talked to them. He came across very strongly. Every public opinion poll showed that Edwards was the favorite. Even in Missouri, when I think the Associated Press polled randomly 11 county chairmen in Missouri asking who they would like to carry to pick, 8 of the 11 picked Edwards. So Kerry had not picked Edwards, he would have had to have done some explaining to some very important Democratic Party activists and constituent groups within the party.
Rob, just help me with how the Republicans will be looking at the decision announced this morning of John Edwards to run with Kerry. He was, as you mentioned, a very high-profile lawyer. He was in the personal injury business, so there's a lot of John Edwards on the record. Now, we know from choices past that presidential candidates go pretty thoroughly through the closets looking for skeletons. What about John Edwards? We know so little about him. How's he going to bear up under scrutiny?
Well, I think he's going to bear up pretty well. I mean, he has gone through two vetting processes now, once in 2000 when he was being considered, and this time, and has come out very clean. There's never been any kind of hint of scandal about him back in his home state. Even though he's a plaintiff's attorney and they could be very controversial, he is such a successful one that he didn't have to chase ambulances and go after the marginal cases. Most of the cases he took are cases where somebody's life was badly damaged and somebody was at fault. So he could pick sort of the cream of the crop of the cases.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Republicans have long thought that it is a real vulnerability for him to be a trial lawyer, and they tried to make that an issue in the 1998 Senate race. And in fact, a lot of people don't like John Edwards back home. They don't. A lot of the physicians really hate him. A lot of the business people don't like him, and of course, a lot of the Republicans. But in fact, that issue of his trial lawyer issue is not stuck politically. It didn't stick in the Senate race in '98, and the reason is it just doesn't seem to resonate with the average voter. They don't when they see. John Edwards, they do not see necessarily an ambulance chaser. They see some John Grisham kind of figure who is fighting for small guys against the big corporations. Edwards has always said, look, if you want to make this an issue, bring it on. And, in fact, President Bush has in the past, I guess it was last year, came to North Carolina and attacked Edwards on this issue. And so the Republicans think it's an issue they can make some hay out of. But so far, Edwards has been pretty bulletproof.
All right, so now you've got me imagining a debate between John Edwards and Dick Cheney. It could be an interesting part of the campaign. Rob, I want to thank you so much for being with us on the program.
My pleasure.
Rob Christensen, chief political writer and columnist for the News Observer in Raleigh, North Carolina, speaking to us there from Pittsburgh at the tail end of the John Kerry rally. The rally where Kerry announced John Edwards will be his running mate in 2004. The number to join our conversation this hour as we take stock of Mr. Edwards is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. We have with us on the line David Greenberg. David is a presidential historian and professor of history and political scientist at Yale, author of a book on Richard Nixon, who made that shift from vice president to president. David, good of you to join us.
Thanks for having me. I should point out I'm now at Rutgers University as of July 1st. So,
congratulations. I'll change my notes.
Thank you. Sorry not to have updated you beforehand.
No, not a problem. Two senators on the ticket. Should we make anything of that?
Well, I do think it is an interesting choice for that reason. You often see senators trying to balance out that sort of perceived weakness of being in Washington with somebody from, beyond Washington, a governor, something like that. On the other hand, Edwards is a well-known figure, and I don't think he is so identified with the culture of Washington or the institution of the Senate that having two senators in this case seems like an egregious liability in any way.
Why, though, did we wind up with just three white guys on the short list here? I mean, no people of color, no women, no surprises. It ended up being rather predictable at the end, David.
It did. And, there weren't that many racial minorities or women on the short list to begin with. The one name you did hear a lot was Bill Richardson, who is half Hispanic American. And Richardson, somewhere near the end of the vetting process, seemed to get whittled off. I have yet to hear the explanations as to why exactly. And as to that, I think in that sense, it is a little bit of a conservative choice. There's a real need in this election, as in some previous elections, to court the center, to go for independents, to go for moderate voters. And I think it's possible that Kerry probably felt that to go with someone who was non-white or to go with a woman might have been seen as playing to a Democratic Party base rather than trying to court the center. Now, Edwards is also popular with the Democratic Party base. But in 1984, when Walter Mondale chose Geraldine Ferraro as his running mate, he was sort of hit with that rap that here's a special interest candidate who's, you know, whose only base consists of a series of special interest groups, and the choice of a woman was seen to appease a particular constituency rather than to think largely, although in another way it certainly was a broad-thinking choice and a historic choice for that matter.
And interesting, historically, the choice of a VP was always someone to balance the ticket geographically. And the last time we talked, David, you said that people had sort of got away from that. Look at Clinton and Gore, for example. And interestingly enough, what Kerry has done with this one is in fact return a little bit to the North-South balance, as well as that sort of character fit that they're hoping will play for them on the campaign.
Well, I do think there is something of a North-South balance there. On the other hand, I don't think that Kerry has chosen John Edwards because he hopes to pick up the state of North Carolina. I think the polls show that it's unlikely, even with Edwards on the ticket, he will get North Carolina. And I rather doubt he's going to do particularly well in the South. I'd be surprised if he gets any southern states except perhaps Florida, perhaps Louisiana, which because of its large black population has gone Democratic. I think it went for Clinton twice.
Let me, if I can, just stop you there, yeah. David, because we've got a caller on the line who can perhaps help us with that. From Columbia, South Carolina, Pat's joining us on the phone. And Pat, I understand that you were working on the Edwards campaign during the primaries. Is that right?
Yes. I volunteered for Senator Edwards and pounded the pavement in my off hours and was very proud when we won the South Carolina primary.
And are you jumping around celebrating this morning?
Oh, it's a great day. It's a great day. It really is. John Edwards is going to energize the party. And I think we might carry more southern states than Florida and Louisiana, but I know John Edwards is going to help us in Florida and Louisiana, and that's super. The thing about John Edwards is he's got the common touch. He knows how to go to a family reunion and talk to Aunt Mabel and ask her how she's kin to everybody else there and who's died since the last time they got together and all those kinds of things. He knows how to relate to people. He knows how to listen, and he knows how to drink sweet tea.
Be frank with me on this one, though, Pat. Has he or will he then in that same way rescue John Kerry, who doesn't have those skills?
Well, you're asking me to be frank. That is certainly our hope and prayer. Maybe John Edwards can teach John Kerry how to drink sweet tea.
All right, so you are you going to get involved again, Pat?
Oh, sure. Sure, yeah. My wife and I are both very excited about it, and our friends in the party are, and we're ready to hop on the bus and ride to Florida. We're not too hopeful about South Carolina, although John Edwards was born in South Carolina, and Al Gore got 41% of the vote down here last time. So,
in fact, South Carolina was the one primary where John Edwards won, isn't it?
Exactly. And he's tremendously popular among the Democrats in South Carolina. And maybe we can, you know, hold revival and bring some people to the altar. I hope so.
All right. Pat, thanks a lot for joining us. Nice to have you on the program. Our number, 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. John Edwards is now the vice presidential candidate running with John Kerry. That announcement made just a couple of hours ago. We're interested in your thoughts about how that changes, alters, complements, or might damage the Democratic ticket as we look ahead for the election. 1-800-423-8255, your chance to have your say about John Edwards. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio, and this is the voice of John Kerry from just a little bit earlier this morning announcing his choice of John Edwards as his running mate and the Democratic candidate for vice president.
He is ready for this job, and there is something else about John Edwards that is important in this campaign and our country at this critical time. As you know, I am determined that we reach out across party lines, that we speak the heart of America, that we speak of hope and of optimism, and John Edwards will join me in doing that.
1-800-423-8255 is the number to join our conversation. Taking the measure of John Edwards as now the announced candidate this hour, I want to go next to Mark Namek, who is political reporter for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And Mark, thanks a lot for standing by for us.
No problem. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell me, when you hear Kerry talking about this man reaching, Edwards reaching across party lines, and in a way he's saying, you know, speaking to the heart of America, is that the sort of thing that people in Ohio are ready to listen to?
I think the Democrats believe it is the message that needs to play here. The economy has been the number one issue. A lot of anecdotal evidence of families and steel workers who, despite outsourcing and pledges that, you know, the economy will grow overall and lift them, it hasn't happened. Edwards was here four or five times before the Ohio primary, standing in front of closed factories, speaking to these people. Watching him, I could see the, you know, the cheers, you know, very sincere support for him. Interestingly, he was here three times in 10 days in May campaigning with the Two Americas speech that he now says John Kerry is for Two Americas, sees Two Americas. I mean, he's really trying to wrap the two of them together in this message of playing to the heartland values. And I think the Democrats really believe that's going to be important here.
So the son of a mill worker life story that Edwards brings to the campaign, that's not shtick in Ohio. That's the sort of genuine connection to middle-class America that will work.
And that message, as you can imagine, John Edwards never failed to mention several times in a speech, particularly to those union households that largely made up a lot of these rallies. And I do think it's going to continue to be an issue in Ohio.
Mark, stay with me for half a sec, if you will.
Sure.
I'd just like to bring David Greenberg back into the
sure.
conversation. And David, if you can sort of pull the lens back a little broader and take a look at how that message will play overall in the campaign, is that principally why you think Edwards was chosen, because he has that story to tell?
Well, I think that's certainly part of it. I think Edwards, in the late primaries, gave a very impressive performance, did a lot better than people thought he would. He had kind of been counted out after not living up to expectations initially. I think he proved to be a very appealing campaigner, as you said earlier, someone who had the common touch. And I think being Southern, too, helps in this way. Even if it doesn't help Kerry in the South, in the rest of the country, in a way, Southernness and a Southern idiom, a manner of talking, is kind of seen as more authentic. It's seen as kind of the mark of somebody who is really telling it like it is, who has a way with people, who understands people. And those Southern mannerisms and way of speaking, I think, gives Edwards an appeal to people in all other regions of the country as well. So I think it was a combination of things.
Mark Namek, what about that in Ohio, that being Southern, that does it make him a more authentic voice?
I do think people look at him as more sincere, for sure, with that. But he really he goes to the heart of that union background. And the classic line was that I've looked into the faces of people without jobs. I've seen that, you know, referring to being, you know, in the mills. And I think that's what he's going to stick with. And I think that message may trump a bit, at least in Ohio, the Southern, even though people seem to think it's cute at times and like it.
Is there any risk, any downside, Mark, that because he brings all that to the campaign, he may end up casting a darker shadow over the man in charge, over John Kerry, who, you know, comes from a more privileged background, hops from, you know, house to house that he owns around the country?
That is a good question, and I'm curious to see how they will balance that. I believe we might see Edwards and Kerry together in Cleveland tomorrow, and I think we'll be able to watch that very thing. The Republicans will certainly be probably trying to point out some of the differences between the two candidates. I know my morning emails are already filled with comments from Kerry about Edwards during the primary that exploit some of these differences.
Right.
I think that will be something to watch for probably in the next couple of days.
And you'll be seeing the Republicans, both the president and the vice president, back in Ohio pretty quick. I mean, yours is such a key state, Mark.
These two campaigns have followed each other literally, three or four days after another. They just, one comes in, the other comes in, or a surrogate's in, another surrogate comes in, and it is giving the state a lot of attention. But the question now is, you know, will Edwards add a bit of a new message, get people more fired up? Edwards only, shouldn't say only, he was second in the primary here with 34% to Kerry's 52%. So, you know, they were the top two. But we're curious to see how Edwards will rally that, as you've talked about at the beginning, the more moderates. You know, Bush won Ohio by putting together a patchwork of all these, you know, outlying counties or exurbia, as we hear a lot about now. If Edwards can reach into some of those pockets, that could make a difference.
Well, Mark, we will check in with you later in the campaign. You have a busy 4 months ahead of you. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Mark Namek, political reporter for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. David Greenberg stays with us. He's presidential historian and a professor at Rutgers. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. And we're going next to Durham, North Carolina. Matthew's joining us on the phone from there. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for calling.
There's a lot of us in North Carolina who voted Edwards into the Senate,
yep.
Figuring he was a very successful businessman, had that Clinton-type suavity to him. But a lot of us are upset because he's not simply just not showing up. He showed up for under a third of the Senate hearings. And I was wondering if you guys could talk about that.
Well, now tell me just before we turn to David on that, Matthew, what the buzz is in North Carolina. Does this man have perhaps too much ambition?
Well, I think a lot of us feel that he went to the Senate just so he could go to the presidency and that he didn't take his seat here seriously.
Matthew, I thank you for the point. It's an interesting one. David Greenberg, this is the sort of, okay, now he's the vice presidential candidate. Now's the time for people to weigh in on just exactly how good his record has been.
Sure. And, you know, any candidate is going to have opponents in his home state who are going to be the ones saying, well, look, down here, we really know him, and this is what he's really all about. I do think that, you know, it's something you're going to hear about Edwards. He has had this kind of meteoric rise in the Democratic Party being considered even 4 years ago, with only 2 years of Senate experience, by Al Gore as a possible running mate. So I think that's inevitable. And when you're running for president, when you are cultivating a national profile, you're going to miss some Senate votes or maybe miss some attendance at hearings. I haven't seen the numbers on Edwards' attendance records, if they're you know, particularly egregious or not. I think I want to see those numbers before coming down too hard on him for that.
Can you tell me, David, though, when we look at the timing of the announcement? Here we are still in the first week of July, some considerable amount of time before the Democrats gather in Boston for their convention. That's part of the calculus that the party was trying to figure out, or certainly that Kerry was trying to figure out. What are you expecting now? Are you expecting to see Kerry go to one part of the country and Edwards to another, that they're basically going to try and cover as much ground as possible between the two of them?
Well, I do think that there is a strategy here on the timing to try to get a double bounce. That is, there's enough lead time now before the convention so that you get a bounce now from the Edwards choice, which, you know, at least judging from the first 20 minutes of press reaction, seems to be generally positive. And then you get another bounce coming out of the convention. So I think that's the thinking on the timing. As far as geographically where they go, I think what you've seen a lot in recent years and what it sounds like they're going to do just initially right now is to campaign together, as Mark Namek said, going to Ohio tomorrow and doing some of the Midwest. After that, they probably will split up. You don't want to seem joined at the hip for 3 weeks. Otherwise, you do start to kind of lose some of the advantages of having a second body to go around and doing some of your retail campaigning for you.
And as we mentioned earlier in the program, one thing that's going to happen now that Edwards has been confirmed as the running mate is a lot of people are going to be trying to find out more about this man. And we'll do that next with Bobby Cavaniss. He's joining us on the line from Robbins, North Carolina, where he manages Fred's department store. Hi, Bobby.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks a lot for agreeing to be with us. I understand that you played football with John Edwards at North Moore High School. Is that right?
That is correct.
What position did you play?
I played linebacker.
And John?
He was a receiver.
Was he any good?
He was excellent. He had real good hands. He had a good eye, too. We both played offense and defense. I was offensive tackle. And he had a pretty good eye to figure out where everyone was going to be.
Have you kept an eye on him since those times, Bobby?
I saw Senator Edwards when he announced that he was running for president in our hometown here of Robbins.
Right.
And that was the last time I seen him in person, that is.
But you've been in touch with him over the years, right?
Over the years, yes.
And what would you say to someone who has not shaken his hand, who doesn't know him?
I think they should take the time to listen to what he has to say, because he's a definite born leader.
Is it the real deal? When he talks about his own background and what he believes in, you listen to him, you know him well enough to know whether or not he's got, you know, the gift of the gab or whether or not he's...
He's sincere.
He is.
Yeah. When we were in high school together, I lost my parents at an early age when we were in high school. And just to let you know what kind of man him and his family is, Senator Edwards, well, we called him Johnny, or we just called him Edwards at that time, he would make sure that I had a ride home from practice, made sure I had a ride to practice. When we had a game, his parents, him or his parents, would come pick me up and invite me to their house for dinner to make sure that I had something to eat before the game. Because I tell you, back then, there wasn't a lot of, when you don't have any parents, there was not a lot of money going around. So that's the kind of man that he is. He would go out of his way for you.
Will you work on the campaign, Bobby? Is that the sort of, I mean, is it payback time for you?
I'm just telling the truth about Senator Edwards. He's a man of his word. He has great integrity.
I thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Bobby Cavanaugh, manager of Fred's Department Store in Robbins, North Carolina, and a childhood football schoolmate of John Edwards. 1-800-423-8255 to Yellow Mountain, North Carolina, next. And George is joining us from there. Hi, George.
Hello there.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you.
So what do you think?
Well, I think the Democrats may have made a big mistake with John Edwards, assuming now that... We got Yellow Dog, 40% Yellow Dog Democrats and 40% Yellow Dog Republicans, and we're playing to the middle. A trial lawyer and with very limited experience might wear thin by November. I wonder if they really thought about someone like Sam Nunn from Georgia, who was also a senator, of course, but highly respected in defense and international affairs, could have probably done for Kerry what Cheney did for Bush in 2000. Now, I don't know what Cheney's going to do for Bush in 2004, but what do you think about that?
Let me ask you one question, George, before I turn that back to David, and that is about the man's lack of political time in Washington. We hear so much from people who are looking for political office in America. They say, oh, I'm not from Washington. I'm an outsider. Bush makes the case. Kerry can't make that case too strongly, but he can with Edwards. Isn't it perhaps as much a benefit to say not a lot of time in Washington?
Well, yes, it can be, but the truth of the matter is that when we have elected people who didn't have experience in Washington, the results are not always very good. This is a complicated country, and the federal government is in Washington, and I, for one, do not want to elect people who don't have experience before they get there.
You don't want someone learning on the job.
Well, I'm from Georgia, basically, and Jimmy Carter is a great ex-president, was a great man, and he might have been a great president if he had had a clue what he was getting into, but he didn't, and it just didn't work out very well.
George, I thank you for being with us. I want to turn to David Greenberg on this issue of experience, because either side will spin it either way. What do we end up with at the end, David?
Well, I think in the end we got to keep in mind he's running for vice president, not for president, and in the end I think the experience card doesn't matter quite as much. I think the experience question, that is Edwards having only 6 years in the Senate as his entire political record, probably did hurt him in the primaries, that what you saw exit polls showing was Kerry being favored because of experience, because of those kind of leadership qualities seeming solid and reliable and electable. But I think for vice president, it's a little bit of a different calculus. I think the youthfulness, the dynamism, all of that, as well as you pointed out, that sense of being a bit of an outsider, does counteract the negatives he might get for being somewhat inexperienced. To the other point that he's a trial lawyer, that's obviously one thing that's going to be leveled at him. I think this is probably going to help more than it hurts. The Republicans want to be careful about setting up corporate malfeasance as a campaign issue because of Halliburton and also because of the Republicans' own record on many of these issues. And to have Edwards out there as someone who can say, yes, I'm a trial lawyer. I fought for a five-year-old girl disemboweled by a swimming pool drain. I fought for a boy who was orphaned when his parents were killed by a reckless trucker and a negligent trucking company. That kind of thing, I have to think, plays well with average voters.
And what about just how Kerry and his close circle are regarding Edwards at this moment? Is he really an asset for the next 4 months? Is that why he was chosen, because of what he can do during the campaign? Or will they also be thinking about, you know, the man as vice president should Kerry win in November?
Well, I'm sure they have given thought to, is this somebody that Kerry can work with? Is this someone in whom they have confidence to take on important tasks as vice president, to give counsel to the president? But I think right now they're thinking, what's going to get us the victory in November? And that's clearly where Edwards' skills lie.
And any risk that his common touch, his speaking skills, are going to eclipse John Kerry?
Well, I remember we talked about this last time. David Nyhan of the Boston Globe talked about the kangaroo ticket with more powerful hind legs than front legs. You know, I somehow don't see that as being a major problem. I mean, I think in some ways there's a complementary dynamic going on where Kerry is seen as even-tempered, as solid, as dependable, and Edwards is the one who's a little more feisty, who's a little more energetic, but maybe that's appropriate in a vice presidential candidate, and having the top of the ticket look sober, mature, seasoned, it may be a nice mix.
All right. Connection listeners, what do you think of the mix as described there by David Greenberg? Is this what it's going to take to take the Democrats all the way to the White House? Is this a ticket that can win, or do you see some flaws in it already? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. My name's Dick Gordon. Our telephone number for you to join our conversation this hour, 1-800-423-8255, taking the measure of John Edwards, who was announced just earlier this morning as the vice presidential running mate, standing with John Kerry for the Democrats. A chance to check in with the Republican National Committee now. Scott Hoganson's joining us on the line. He's a spokesperson for the RNC. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Dick. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. So tell me, fear and trembling in your offices or high fives and celebrations? What do you make of Edwards?
Well, when you have the number one most liberal senator in the Senate teamed up with the fourth most liberal senator of the Senate, let's just say that this is a debate we welcome. It's going to give people in America a very clear distinction between the president and vice president that they want to lead the nation.
What are the chinks in the Edwards armor here? Is it lack of experience that the Republicans will work with? How are you looking ahead at that?
Well, I think that John Kerry brought out some of the shortcomings in John Edwards probably better than I or even our chairman, Ed Gillespie, could ever do. He's very thin on foreign policy experience. The sum total of his public service background is 4 years in the United States Senate. He's as a trial lawyer, he's opposed to tort reform, and it's these lawsuits that John Edwards has supported over the years that have contributed considerably to the rise in cost of health insurance. You know, as I mentioned earlier, it is a debate that we are looking forward to.
The Republicans called John Edwards the Breck girl when he was high profile in the primaries. Is this going to be a personal kind of campaign now that we have a pretty good idea who the four characters are going to be?
No, we're going to be looking at this as an issue-driven campaign, Dick. You know, there are a lot of very important issues out there right now, head and shoulders above the rest of them, no pun intended, with Breck Girl.
Not bad, though.
It just came out. Iraq, obviously, you know, here you've got a vice presidential, you know, he's not a nominee yet, but I'm sure he will be, a vice presidential candidate with, you know, virtually no foreign policy experience. Is that the kind of person you want weighing in on improving the situation in Iraq when it comes to the economy, when we're faced with so many liability problems? Do you want a trial lawyer setting policy? These and other issues, I think, are going to percolate very quickly to the surface, and I think that people will see a very distinct and clear difference between the two tickets.
So a Cheney-Edwards debate, should one come late in the campaign, would be something that, that you'd be interested in tuning in.
Oh, I would love to roll tape on that debate, presuming it happens. I mean, we've had a vice presidential debate in every presidential campaign that I've worked on, so I don't see why this year would be any different.
Scott, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Scott Hoganson's a spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. Our number's 1-800-423-8255. We would like to hear from you, get your thoughts on the morning that John Edwards has been marked by John Kerry. I want to go back, if I can, to David Greenberg, just on how, David, you see the tone, the nature of the campaign being altered with Edwards now sort of filling out the ticket. Is it going to get nasty?
Well, I think it's already been nasty, but I think it's only going to get nastier. And the vice presidential candidate, at least in recent elections, typically has served a function of being the pit bull, the attack dog, whatever you want to call it. Cheney's been playing that role quite aggressively, going after John Kerry. And in a way, this frees up John Kerry, again, to look presidential, to look mature.
But hang on a second, David. Let's go back to the primaries, because John Edwards made it a distinct measure of his campaign that he was not going to be negative. He was going to be upbeat and optimistic. He was very careful not to criticize any of the other candidates harshly, in part perhaps because he was anticipating this morning. But for someone who was characterizing himself as the sort of happy face candidate of the primaries, how does he then transform himself into, sort of Dick Cheney's nemesis?
Well, I think that's a good point. And one reason that it was said Edwards was so relentlessly positive about John Kerry and other competitors was that he was hoping to get picked as vice president. I do think there were times when Edwards was attacked, when he could hit back pretty hard. I remember one comment John Kerry made on the eve of the Iowa caucuses, saying something about being in Vietnam while John Edwards was still in diapers. And Edwards shot back, saying something like, well, I was sitting around the kitchen table with my family trying to figure out how we were going to pay for college. And, you know, there was a barb there at Kerry's more wealthy upbringing. So I think he is a guy who will hit back, too. And I think if that's the role he's called upon to play, he'll jump in and play it.
All right. Let's go back to our callers. We're going to Greensboro, North Carolina next. And Scott's with us on the line. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Thanks a lot for calling. What do you think of the choice of John Edwards here?
First time caller. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, nice to have you with us.
I'm a 22-year-old college student at UNCG, and I was just wondering what your commentators and might think about this aspect of it. Perhaps it's my naivete as a young man, but having Senator Edwards, you know, only being a senator for one term, how do you think that's going to appeal to young voters my age and, you know, into the 25s and whatnot, not being a career politician, presenting himself more as a statesman?
Well, I mean, why don't you tell me what's in your mind? If it had been a choice of Gephardt or Vilsack or, I don't know, widen the list out, talk about Hillary Clinton and Jean Shaheen as opposed to John Edwards, how would that have changed your mind?
Actually, I was thinking Hillary Clinton probably would have been a very bad move, because I think the country is way too filled with too many traditionalists that would be uncomfortable with the very first woman vice president. I'm not sure if we're ready to handle that, especially in times with the war and the economy and whatnot. But
okay, but Scott, let's go back to how to speak to young American voters, though, because I think it's a really important question. Does it matter if a candidate or a vice presidential candidate is 50 or 60 or 30 or 40 when that person makes their case for your vote?
Absolutely. It's my own personal opinion. I think that a lot of people my age have lost quite a bit of faith in the political systems and whatnot, with all the scandals and corruptions that we've seen ever since, the 50s, 60s, 70s, all those administrations. I think a lot of young people are trying to look for something kind of out of the norm, per se.
Is that Edwards?
I definitely think so. I met the man when I was 15 on a lobbying trip. We went to the state capitol, and then we went to Washington, D.C. And when I met him when I was 15, I completely just fell in love with his administration and what he was trying to do. I think it's going to be a really good move as far as that aspect, because he does have that boyish charisma and that youthful look to him. But at the same time, being a trial lawyer and being so well-spoken and knowing how to handle himself so well, I think he's going to lend a lot of aid to the Kerry campaign.
All right, Scott, I'm going to move to David Greenberg on this one. David, just to sort of test your sense of whether or not a young candidate like Edwards, who projects an even more youthful character, I mean, he's 45 and he can pass for 35 or 30, will it make a difference? Will it add up to anything?
Yeah, I think he's 50 or 51 now. But
oh, okay.
He looks, yeah, 35, 45. I think that probably helps him. I think also there is a sense of being an outsider that helps him. You know, Howard Dean really mobilized the youth in the primaries, or at least in the run-up to the primaries. But Dean, interestingly, Edwards was the second choice. Once his campaign started sinking, a lot of the Dean supporters said, Edwards is now our man, which I thought was kind of an interesting jump, because Edwards had been kind of carving out more of a position on the right wing of the party. But I think some of that is generational. I think he does have an appeal to younger voters, and whether it's because of his own youth, whether it's because of not being sort of strongly identified with Washington politics, I'm not quite sure where that appeal comes from, but I think it is there.
Let's test that with Nashville, Tennessee. Jeff's on the line there. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, good morning. I had my question / comment, I guess, is I wonder if Mr. Edwards' southern ability to communicate and quick and easy speech and persuasiveness doesn't echo a little bit too closely the Bill Clinton so quickly after we've been through all the stuff that we've been through with him, and wonder if that just might be a little bit too much too soon.
Well, what do you think? You've got a southern perspective on this. I mean, there was a little bit of good and a little bit of bad when you want to reflect back on Clinton. Are you saying that the bad side of it may distract people from Edwards?
I think that all of us have learned that and it seems like and I've heard local as well as national feedback and opinion on this, and you know, once again, we have a person that's described that his main attribute is that he is a phenomenal salesman, whether it be a salesman to a jury, to a political electorate, or to on an idea, and I'm not sure that we, as a qualification, that being the best possible salesman for someone else's ideas is what we need. And for me, he rings very hollow. I come from a group of family members who are persuasive speakers, and father a pastor and that kind of stuff, and have seen that and have learned by being in this society and in our experience with Bill Clinton that words said with fervor, with a conviction and intensity often are false.
Now, are you a Republican or a Democrat, Jeff?
I would say I am a Republican, but I believe that I'm a little bit middle of the road in some aspects politically.
Well, the reason I ask is just to sort of see if anyone else had been chosen by Kerry, would that have given you any more interest or confidence or fear of that ticket?
You know, no. I think that I would have had more respect for the ticket if you would have put somebody who had a lifetime experience like Gephardt.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it would have helped him get elected, but I think you have to have more respect for a person who spent his life in public service, who has a consistent theological and political and social ethic that it is recorded, that we know how he's doing. We can check and see where he is and where he came from. A person that has...
Jeff, can I stop you right there? Because my guest, David Greenberg, actually has some considerable experience in looking at this aspect of politics. We go back to the autumn of 1960 when that 5 o'clock shadow on the face of Richard Nixon reflected so badly on him. But since then, David, you'll know that the influence of television, the ability of someone to sell something or to make a case, has become more and more important in politics. Has Jeff put his finger on something by saying maybe, you know, just the best speaker in the gang might not be the best politician?
Well, I think he actually does point to what could be a real weakness in John Edwards. And I think this also was a problem that plagued his primary campaign. Sometimes it seemed that the only purpose of his running was that he was electable, that he was a guy who everybody thought could win because he seemed so charming and so glib in the good sense as well as the bad sense. So I do think that there is a danger of being seen too much as a salesman, partly as a result of Nixon and the Nixon-Kennedy debates and that whole era of television and politics seeping into our consciousness. Everybody's kind of plugged in now. We all know when politicians are spinning us. We know when they're trying to put on a performance. And coming off too strongly like that can be a downside. You want your candidate to seem authentic and genuine as well.
David, I thank you for being with us on the program. We're going to watch this campaign with some of your ideas in mind. We'll talk again.
It was my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
David Greenberg is a presidential historian and a professor at Rutgers. Earlier in the program, we had a chance to check in with Rob Christensen. He's chief political writer and columnist for the News and Observer in Raleigh, North Carolina, though he was joining us from Pittsburgh, where he was watching the Kerry announcement. Mark Namek was also with us. He's a political reporter for the Cleveland Plain Dealer from Robbins, North Carolina. We heard from Bobby Cavaniss, an old schoolmate of Senator John Edwards, and Scott Hoganson, a spokesman for the Republican National Committee. The Connection is produced by Catherine Fenollosa, Sarah Field, Steph Kotsonis, Kelly Jones, Jen Mattson, Nancy Cohen, Christina Russo, and Doug Sugarts. Our interns are Jennifer... I'm going to leave those names off for the time being, but just say Tara Murphy's our senior producer. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.